We've been talking about vision, and vision starts with attitude. And the importance of vision is maintaining a positive attitude no matter where we are, no matter what is going on. Our vision as living divine supernatural beings is spiritual. We have to see the spiritual realities and not look at the physical realities. The physical realities is but an illusion. The spiritual realities are the realities that we flow in and must begin to build on. Last week I said that there are five giants that must be conquered in order for vision to go forward. Who remembers what those five were? And the biggest one smashes into our windshield, and the rest of them create spiders off of that big one. Remember I said it was change, problems, discouragement, fear, and failure. Okay? And we're constantly battling these guys. And last week we talked about change. And we talked about how the spirit that wars against this giant of change wants us to procrastinate, wants us to put off, always tells us the lies that we got till tomorrow, we can do it later, we can do whatever. The problem in that is that we don't. When the Lord speaks to us, He expects immediate results. He expects us to respond. The Word says, today, if you hear His voice, today, now, if you hear, He expects you to respond positively to it. And then we talked about some of the other things that, one, change starts in us first before it can manifest out of us. And I elaborated a little bit about how that comes on. I said the change is always happening around us, good or bad, doesn't matter, you know. It's whether we're going to embrace this change and then change. Then I stated something that probably you may not have fully understood, but you must wholly commit to the change and pay the price. For you to change, you have to pay the price to change. No one else is going to pay that price. A lot of us, the word that Dan gave is very, very good. We say we want to change, and then we spend all our time resisting what the Lord has told us to do. How are we going to grow up and mature into the things that God has called into our lives if we're still doing the childish things of the world? And this is whom God is looking for. And because of this, visions says change equals growth. We grow. When we change, it is a good thing. We're growing up. But when we enlist our selfishness, our wants, our desires, self equates change as grief, as punishment. God doesn't want me to change. God has punished me because I did something wrong. God doesn't punish us. He gave all that punishment onto Jesus. What He wants us to do is to change and grow up. That's the good news of the gospel. Our Father is good. He doesn't punish us. Sometimes He has to spank us to get our attention to certain things, but we have to understand it's for our benefit. God has something going on in our lives, and all of us, I've said to you, that the tree is shaking. God is shaking our tree. And everything that's not of Him is dropping out. The next phase of what He's going to do, and that's going to happen very shortly, is He's going to begin to start pruning those things out of your life to produce His fruit. Godly fruit. That's the next step. And then we went to 1 Peter 5, 8 through 10. And if you would turn there, this is the scripture that we're going to stay on for a while. It says, stay alert, Watch out for your enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of sufferings as you. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Jesus Christ. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. Sometimes what we do is we find it strange that we're going through things. It's like, well, I'm a Christian. I shouldn't have to suffer. Are you changing? Because when this giant comes into our windshield and we're driving down the road and that smashes into our windshield, immediately our vision is distorted. And what did I say? God is trying to get us out of the driver's seat into the passenger seat so that we can see very clearly what is happening. When we received Jesus Christ, we said yay and amen to change. We did. And that giant smashed in our windshield and distorted what we were thinking. We knew things were bad when we came to Jesus Christ. We did. But did we go to Jesus as an emergency answer to our prayers and smash the glass and get the fire hose out to put the fires out for us? Or did we really believe that we wanted to exchange our lives? Jesus took my life so I could have his life, eternal life. And this is the reality that we have to understand, because once we start dealing, once we make that decision that I'm going to be committed to change and then move into change, the next giant comes. Problems. Problems. Problems don't show themselves until we make a decision to change. And remember, change is not the enemy. Change is what God uses to mature us. Okay? Problems... oh, God. Problems are the things that God uses us to grow us up. Hear that again. God uses these problems to grow us up. It all comes in how we perceive, how we view those problems. If we're still driving, we have negative attitude. Why is this always happening to me? Just when I thought things were going good, this shows up. And you know what? Problems show up at the most inopportune time in our lives. It's never convenient, right? It's your attitude towards it. If your attitude is on vision and you understand that God wants to grow you up, the way you view this problem will actually grow up your attitude and mature your spirit in a positive way. Problems or opportunities? Okay? They are opportunities for creativity in solving those problems. How we first view that problem and how we go about solving that problem determines the character. It either reveals our selfishness and self-centeredness, or we stop, drop, and roll, which it took me a while to get used to. To stand up and look at a problem objectively. How many of us view problems as punishment from God? Praise God, nobody. That's good. That is good. You see, what happens is people generally don't know the difference between recognizing a problem and recognizing a solution to the problem. Because if you're negative, you become blind to the solution. because you're problem fixated. Your attention is on the problem. And you do not want to change. Remember, our body, our flesh does not want to change. And we will allow Satan to speak to us and convince us because that's what we want. And Satan is more than willing to give us what we want. Procrastinate the change. When we say, I want change and problems start to arise, we begin to retreat. We do the things that we know to do. And when we've done all we know to do, what do then? We whine and complain. Don't we? We all do. It's not just pastor. I want you to understand there are three kinds of people in the world. One, those who can't see the problems or refuse to see the problems. How many of us have walked down a road and we saw a problem and said, that's their problem. I'm not getting involved. And immediately that problem God uses to trigger something in our lives. Because we did not respond to a problem or an opportunity to serve, to reveal Jesus Christ in helping others. We refuse to see the problem, thereby the problem visits us. Two, there are those who see the problem and they blame others for them, or they want them to solve their problems for them. That's how we are in our carnality. I wouldn't have this problem if so-and-so did thus and thus. You know, you should have done this to take care of this problem. I wouldn't be in this pickle if you didn't do your job. Right? Can you see how we blame others for our problem? It's our problem. What we should be going to that person and saying, how did you handle this problem? What did God do or say to you that you had to do to solve this problem? We don't do that. We cry, we bemoan, we wail, we say we've done everything. Have you asked God? Matthew 6:33 principle. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all this stuff will be added to you. Vision is not something we play with. Vision isn't something we try to bend God's arm to make Him do our will. Vision has to originate to what He has called you to do in your life, and you make a conscious decision to follow after God no matter what. That is the word that was spoken today for us. Isaiah prophesied truly. These people are far from me. They worship me with their lips, but their heart is not near. Three, there are people that see the problems. They didn't create the problems. They accept the problems as an opportunity and get involved personally to solve it. Which person are you? I just happen to be the third one. I didn't create these problems. I am willing to get involved to help solve the problem. And all you know, I say to you first, what did God say to you? I don't know, Pastor. Well, then what are you coming to me for? God is the author and finisher of our faith. My job is to encourage you to go to the Lord Himself because He has a wonderful plan for you. Problems are opportunities for us, and we have to be reminded, and it was prayed today, That God is bigger than any of our problems. How big is your God? If you make your problems bigger than God, they are. If you go to God and seek Him and hear His voice and do what He tells you to do, it's kind of funny. The problem isn't that big a deal. And the earlier we get to it, the old adage, nip it in the bud, we find that that problem is very, very small. What it is, it's inconveniencing us. Pastor, could you drive me to this place? Well, I got this going on and I'm running through. Oh, I'll just ask somebody else. Well, no, I'm trying to figure out what's on my roller decks. And then I ask the next question. When do you need this done? What day do you need this done? What time do you, I'm trying to accommodate because I can move my schedule because there's nothing more important than God's people. Do we do that? Do we prefer one another enough that we'll solve our problems by doing what God says to do? That once we have that settled in us, that these opportunities change us even more. Because now we become willing to serve one another through a heart of love. And I know all of you do this. You serve with a heart of love. But do we serve grumbling and complaining? Or do we see it as an opportunity to be a blessing? And I'm guilty. I'm guilty. There's times when my schedule is so full, it's like, man, Lord, I don't need one more thing on here. And then I stop and I think about it and I say, but you apparently believe I do. Not my will, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As we begin to recognize the problems, God is trying to grow us up. And how we grow is slide over. Get out of the driver's seat. Okay? When we recognize the problem, the next thing is our decisions. How do we make decisions? Do we make decisions based on previous experiences? Do we make decisions based on what benefits me or you? Okay, personalize it. Do we make decisions to personally for our benefit? You see, this is how God, and if those of us have had kids, it marvels us how little guys think, how they solve problems. It's really awesome. The other day, Bev sent me a picture of my grandson, and he loves to climb. And this picture was he was standing on the door of the dishwasher because he wanted to help his mother wash the dishes. I'm like, how did this kid know to open this door? How does he know to stand up there and do this? You know, nobody showed him that. He's just figuring this stuff out. That's how our Father is. He allows this problem to come in, and then He wants to see how we're going to solve it. And if we go to Him first, it's better for us. Because in that, okay, when Bev shot this picture of him, the panic is if he moves to the left or to the right, he falls. Kind of biblical, you know, Jesus said, wide is the path to destruction, narrow is the way that leads to life. If he took a step to one side, he would have fallen over and gotten hurt. And God does this for us to see if we're going to base our decisions on His Word. Do we base everything we do on His Word? Because the Word says that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, right? Holy Spirit inspired men to write down God's Word. Jesus is the living Word of God, who took on flesh, who wants to take on your flesh to do the Father's will. Because all that Jesus did, He pleased the Father by doing the Father's will. Vision. He saw the end. He didn't like the end. Believe me, he said it in the garden. If there's any other way, God, that this could happen, I pray that you do that. But, nevertheless, not my will be done, your will be done. And he went to the cross for us. We either flee from the problem and believe that the problem is going to solve itself, or we ignore the problem. Is the problems follow us. How many of us have left things and said, that's your problem, I'm starting a new life? And many people do this. And I've seen it personally in my own family's life, where they've had enough of their circumstances, they packed everything up, they moved to another state, only to find that the problems eventually came to them. It's like, you can't run this stuff out, you know? But somehow in our mind, we think that we can flee from them. Two, we either forget the problem. We hope that this problem, if we ignore it, will go away and we will not be mindful of it. Right? It does. Shazam! God, you're glorious. No problem. And then 6 months down the road, we've been walking Kadesh Barnea and we're back at it again. How did I get back here? But we do that. Or we fight it. We resist the problems. We're in there. I've done all I know to do. You know? And I still got this problem. Did you do what God says? But it doesn't matter, Pastor. I did all I know to do. Did you do what God said? He said, when you know that you've done all that you know to do, what's it tell you? Stand. Don't move. Because the next step may be that landmine to blow your life up. And some of us don't want to hear that. We take that next step and then we hear the click. And that mine, if we take the next step, is going to blow our lives up. I should have listened to Pastor. I should have sought God. I should have done all this stuff. But I've been fighting a good fight of faith. Have you? Have you been fighting a good fight of faith? God wants to see how you're going to make decisions. Do you face it? Realistically, look at the problem and seeing the opportunities that are associated with that problem. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all this stuff will happen for you. Well, how do I do that? Well, you know, we go to principle number two. Present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable. It's not unreasonable to present yourself as a living sacrifice. But we think that it is unreasonable from God, because God requires us to die. He doesn't take joy in our suffering, but He will let us suffer to grow us up, to mature us. He tells us in Psalm, He takes delight in the death of His saints. Do you understand what that means? That means you don't make decisions. You're a dead person. Jesus makes the decisions. He needs your body to do what He wants. He delights when we stop trying to run our lives and we just go with the flow. He delights in that. And I'm not saying we don't do things. I'm not saying we just abject, abandon our lives to it. No, there are responsibilities to our lives that requires our attention. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to grow up and mature to be responsible, supernatural beings. Not immature, carnal Christians. Vision will always challenge us to change for the better, whether it is in our character, personal situations, or for the body, everybody at large. Problems arise when we definitively move out to fulfill God's vision. They're just going to come. That's why you see my head on a swivel all the time. I'm expecting problems. I'm expecting Satan to throw a monkey wrench in this stuff. I did not expect him to have somebody come out here and steal our heater and air conditioner. And I had to laugh. We Sean was here and Irene and I were here and we're just laughing. It's like, what else? We'll deal with it in the morning. God, you know, my prayer time, I prayed. What do you want me to do? Gave me some contractors. I called, and the rest is history. And I'll let you know, the heater's paid for. Right, Miss Holly? Amen. Praise God. And that's because you guys have been faithful in giving to the ministry. Praise God. That's to be excited. That's part of our obedience. God uses these problems to mature our faith, develop our character, and give us wisdom by learning from our failures. If we're continually doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, what is that, Gomez? It is a definition of an idiot. I don't see any idiots here. I see very smart and wise people. Paul J. Meyer said, 90% of those who fail are not actually defeated. They simply quit. Are you a quitter? You're not a quitter. You're more than a conqueror, God says. You just need to learn to tell your body who's in control. You need to subject your body to the will of the Father. And do those things that He prefers. Stop trying to be in control of your life, because you may have a respite, but problems will always come. And God is trying to draw us all to His bosom. That's what He's trying to do. And when we flee from problems, we don't want to change. We're telling God we don't want to change. When we try to pretend that they're not real and forget about them, we're in delusion. We deceive ourselves. And God says in the last days He's going to cause great delusion to come upon the land. When we resist and fight it, we're fighting it in our own strength. And our weapons are mightier than doing the things in our flesh. They are spiritual weapons. And they're not carnal. They are for the destruction of principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness. It is to pull down every argument, every thought, everything that resists the Lordship of Jesus Christ is to be pulled down and destroyed. Every stronghold. But Pastor, you just don't understand. No. I understand better than you. You need to understand that God is trying to get you to a place, a better place, in which He can speak to you and help you. But He's not going to help you if you're insistent to remain unchanged. And believe it or not, problems, when you deal with them correctly and quickly, are very small. And you can just begin to flow through the things that God has given to you to do, to become that which God has created you to become, to be the most effective in His kingdom, touching people's lives. Didn't we pray that anointing? The Isaiah 61 anointing? What have you been anointed to do? Preach the good news. Heal the brokenhearted. Set the captives free. Preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's what you have been anointed to do. But But you're resisting the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And because of that resisting of that anointing, you're stifling your growth. I want you to understand that when we slide over, we see clearly then. We see very clearly. Because there's no distortion. That distortion is when we try to live our lives for our own glory and our own benefit. We do things and waste His money in trying to accomplish things that He had never intended for us to do or to be or to chase after. We are to chase after Him with our whole heart. And when we chase after Him with a whole heart, the surprising thing is we find Him. He's not in secret. He's not hiding away from us. But He wants to see what kind of passion we have for Him. Because if we have a passion for Him, He's going to take care of everything for us. Because then what happens that becomes priority for us is accomplishing His will on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus said, "I have meat that you do not know of." Are we feeding at His feet, or are we just going through the motions? As for me and my house, we're not going through the motions. We want to see God glorified. I know the leadership has grown to a place to understand that there's nothing more important than for us to enter into a covenantal relationship and do what we need to do to accomplish His will. That's what He died for. To set you free from chasing your tail and me chasing my tail. To do His will. Amen? Father, we just thank You that You've exposed what problems really are. There are opportunities for us, God. Opportunities to see how we respond, how we react. How we make decisions, God. To see if we will ignore them or just be pretend that they don't exist or whatever, God. Because really, God, the truth is, I don't want to change. I don't want to change. But help us, God. Give us a heart to want to change and to be pleasing to You, God. Give us that heart, God, that would remove the stone and allow the life of Jesus Christ to come forth. God, forgive us, God, of our selfishness and self-centeredness and childish behaviors, God. God, let us look past ourselves and see a world that is in confusion, a world that is hurting, and a world that hates You and hates everyone who loves You, God. It doesn't matter, God, to be absent of the body is to be present with You, God. They can't kill me twice. But I willingly lay down my life to be Your servant because I understand what an honor and a privilege it is. And I thank You for all that You have done in my life, my family's life, in the church's life, God. Because we want to bring Your harvest in, Father. We want to see Your house full, God. We want to see people really who have a heart aflamed for You, God. Start with us, God. Help us to comprehend and get the wisdom, God, to accept change, which is Your will, and to solve problems in a creative way. Not by what the world says, but by how You say to do it. I thank You in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.